Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When you send your children to school, you know they interact with teachers and administrators, education assistants and custodians. But how about those school counselors? It's National School Counseling Week. Let's welcome Rapid City Area Schools lead counselor, Dana Livermont. She joins us from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Dana, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us, Kristen Wheeler. She's a certified school counselor at Huron High School. She joins us on the phone from Huron. Kristen, hello.
Hello, thank you.
All right, Dana, let's start with you. You're the lead counselor. So give us an idea of what Rapid City School District is like, you know, overall. What's the big picture of how many counselors you have and how they fit into the schools?
So we have 27 certified school counselors working in our elementary, middle school, and high schools. And they really work with all students. So working in classrooms to provide lessons and prevention work. We do pullout work with small groups to do more interventions. We do individual planning at the middle school and high school level to help students look at their coursework and then also plan for, you know, life after graduation. So we're really embedded in kind of everything that happens in all of our schools.
And Kristen, in Huron, how's the system set up and what's your role in it?
Okay, each of our schools, including our elementary and our middle schools, have one counselor each. At the high school level, there are two of us here. We help students primarily with scheduling and registration here at the high school, helping them get their classes on track for whatever their post-high school plans may be, whether that be career, technical school, or college, as well as handle their emotional needs and other issues that come up when they're here.
And what else do you do? It's like, that's a whole lot of stuff right there. So you're really looking, Kristen, at the whole person, not just career aspirations, but challenges at home to, you know, maybe a relationship challenge. I mean, it must be something different every single day, right, Kristen?
It is. Absolutely. You are correct. Each child is different. Each situation at home is different. Each dream for their future is different, and sometimes they're not sure how to get there. And so there's a lot of education in helping them find out where they can get support, not just here, but wherever those future plans may lie, helping them get connected with future schools and future resources, wherever they like to be.
Dana, what got you into this line of work? What is it that you love about your job?
Well, I started off with a psychology degree and soon realized that I really wanted to work with students and children. And so that was a way for me to kind of get into the schools and kind of build off of my psychology work was to pursue a master's degree in school counseling. And I can tell you some of the greatest things about being a school counselor is you walk away knowing that you've changed lives and you're touching kids every day and really helping them, you know, reach their goals. Another great thing about being a school counselor, if you have the same kind of personality I do, is that no 2 days are exactly the same. So you can set all the best plans for your day, but you come in and you never know what's going to be thrown at you. And sometimes that's really exciting and you just kind of have to think on your feet. And I've really enjoyed that as well.
I spoke to a school counselor not too long ago, and this school had experienced a loss of a student. And I expected the counselor to be affected by it. I expected the teaching staff to be affected by it. But just standing in that space with him at that moment, it struck me of how deep that impact was. So kids go through some tough things. Kristen, tell me how you sort of work on, you know, helping with their resilience and dealing with the community of kids when something goes wrong and something bad happens to a student.
That is difficult. It's difficult when a student is suffering and to see how that ripple effect affects the people in their classes, affects their teachers, affects friends who live near them. When a student has a difficulty, it affects more than just themselves. When something has happened in our community, and we're a smaller community, we make sure that we're trying to reach out to everyone who we know has been affected. Some of them are going to be vocal about that, and some will not be. And so it's about keeping an eye out for behavior changes and trying to meet with students and check in with students and make sure that everybody can stay on track and support each other.
And you also deal with kids from all kinds of different backgrounds and different countries, different languages. Kristen, how do you prepare yourself to really help a student who maybe has English as a second language find out, for example, what their options are after high school?
Absolutely. That is a challenge, certainly with some of our population, that these are first-generation college potential kids. So it is about educating the entire family about what the process is for continuing on for school after high school. What is FAFSA for financial aid? How do you apply for that? What does a college application look like, and how do you get through that? And it's a lot of support. We have a lot of support here at the school with our ESL department and our interpreters. We can send everything to be translated so it can go home on paper in case they don't have email access or internet access at home to depend on that. And we have social workers that can visit the home as well. So we have a lot of support here for the home environment to help educate. But we hold a lot of events at school as well, so we invite parents and families to come to learn with their students about that information.
Kristen, how do you keep up with the opportunities that exist? As you know, we were talking to Senator Billy Sutton earlier about different, you know, things that they want to see happen in the State House to encourage kids to get, you know, career and technical education, or increase the availability of it for those who want to participate in it. How do you, as a counselor, Dana, really keep up with all the changes and what might be out there for kids who have such a wide, you know, variety of talents and aspirations and skills? How do you sort through it all for them?
Yeah, so I think it's really important for us as educators and counselors to know that we're lifelong learners too. So, you know, you don't just go and know about everything and then you're done. We're constantly seeking information and using our resources, reaching out with our community partners and other partners across the state to see what those opportunities are. So we're constantly adapting, you know, the language that we're sharing with students and the opportunities we're sharing with them and constantly sharing with each other. So it's just part of the job that you kind of have to continue to want to learn and seek out information and see where the needs are for our students.
Dana, do you remember your high school counselor or an elementary school counselor? Do you remember in your school having contact with anyone in the counseling's office?
Well, so I grew up in a smaller town in eastern Montana, and I did have contact with my school counselor, but he was also my my politics teacher, and that's how I knew him. I never really utilized the school counselor in the same way that I would hope kids that do now. And I think that really highlights, I think, for most of us, when we look back to what it was like, you know, the relationship we had with our school counselor or how we used them, the role of the school counselor has really changed, you know, in the last couple of decades, and really in the last decade, to kind of shift what does it mean to be a school counselor, and how do we engage with our students and staff at schools. So yeah, it's totally different than what most of us probably experienced.
How has it changed? What, you know, talk to the parents here for a minute. You know, what exists that didn't before where you might want to encourage your kid to seek out that counselor at school?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you think about the school counselor that most of us probably had, it was someone maybe in an office somewhere, and you kind of elected to go see them if you felt like you needed a little help on something, and they offered some guidance, and that's where we got the word guidance counselor.
Sure.
And we really don't use that term anymore. We call them school counselors or professional school counselors, and they're people who engage with all students. So yes, we do have offices and kids can come and see us, but we're also out in classrooms and in the hallways and really touching and meeting with all of our students regardless of what grade level. And we have standards now, which maybe they didn't traditionally have. So we have you know, a sets of mindsets and behaviors we're trying to teach students, and also some professional standards which didn't exist before, and we're really embedded in all the work that we do. So we work on our PBIS behavior teams, we work on attendance initiatives, we work on trying to make plans to help students achieve academically. So it's not just about, you know, helping kids figure out what they want to be, but we're kind of embedded in everything.
Right. Kristen, can you talk about mindsets and some of those sort of life skills that you're trying to you know, get the word out about in school?
Absolutely. So one of the things that, as Dana had mentioned, school counseling has changed is from guidance to now school counseling, is that we do want to increase the student's growth mindset. And that is a mindset in which we want students to be able to understand that challenge is something that helps them to experience challenges going to help strengthen them in a way so that it helps to increase their grit or ability to handle frustration and kind of, you know, suffer through it, but get through it and learn something from it and come out the other side and realize that they've expanded their knowledge and their courage and their mind and that it was worth it. And so we want students to feel that it's worth it to be challenged, it's worth it to try hard, and that in the end that's going to help them succeed in their future plans as well if they can stick to it and get through it.
Kristen, how do you deal with parents? Because I have a student who's in high school, and as you say that, I'm kind of chuckling because every once in a while her counselor will sort of recommend something that's a little harder than the path I would have recommended. And you know, she listens to him because he's saying, I believe in you and you can do this. And as her mom, I'm like, oh, don't work, you know, take it easy on yourself. And, you know, but how do you deal with that sort of gentle give and take between maybe something a student has heard at home and something that you maybe want to help turn their face and say, there might be a different way for you. Think about this.
Sure. When I'm dealing with parents, and parents, they can email me, they call me, sometimes they stop in and visit. Each situation is different. And sometimes it's just that they don't know what is different now, especially if they went to school here as a student. So some of our parents have been a student of this school, and they just don't know how things have changed, how classes have changed, how paths have changed to courses, and they have dual credit now that they didn't have when maybe they were in school. And so some of it's just education about what is different and what is needed for credits for graduation, how a student can get there, and how they can challenge themselves so that they're more successful in the future. And sometimes just that conversation is enough. Sometimes it's more about getting the student, especially if they have a dream, helping them learn about what kind of work is involved to reach that dream. And if they're motivated to reach it, that can help parents understand why challenging classes are more important than ever.
Yeah. Dana, I'll tell you the conversation I had with my daughter in the car, and I said, how come, you know, sometimes when your counselor says something, that you're more likely to listen to it than if I say yes? And she said, well, this is his entire job, Mom. I mean, he's been, so she gets it, doesn't she, Dana? She gets that he is spending a lot of time looking at resources that I simply don't have the time to explore.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that our students are looking at us that way, because we do see ourselves as professional school counselors, and it's nice when we get student buy-in to say, okay, you do know what you're talking about, and you do have some good ideas, and I'm willing to kind of listen to those. And I can say also that I think in a lot of ways students are sometimes more open to listening to voices besides their parents on some things, just because it's a, you know, someone a different perspective, and I don't think that's anything against you.
No, I will say that he was right. He was right. He's a very good counselor. Happy National School Counseling Week. Send your counselor a nice note of appreciation. Dana Livermont with Rapid City Area Schools, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Kristen Wheeler with Huron High School, thanks as well.
Thank you very much.